Welcome to the Edward Woodson Show, shining a spotlight on the media minions and redistributing the truth. And now, here's your fair share of the truth, brought to you by your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome. I'm going to give you your fair share of the truth today because you are entitled to it. Unlike the mainstream media in this country, yesterday I talked about the Brian Williams situation. I'm going to get to that in 1 second, but first I want to say this. You know, the president gave this long interview to some guy, by the way, I've never heard of, this guy Mark Moron. I guess he's a comedian, and I've never heard of this guy in my life. He has a podcast, and now everybody's listening to his podcast. I mean, I don't understand how he gets the president, lands the president to come to his garage. But that being said, you know, and he talked a lot about racism and the use of the N-word. Which, by the way, you're allowed to use that if you're black, but you can't use that if you're white. No, no, no. But one of the things he said, and I'll get to the racism issue in a minute. One of the things he said, which I thought was interesting, he talked about, again, Fox News. The man is obsessed with Fox News. So here's his quote. He said, "If you watch Fox News, you inhabit a completely different world with different facts than if you read the New York Times." No truer statement could have been made by Mr. Obama. His point was to suggest that the New York Times gives you the truth and Fox News gives you something else purported to be factual. Now, the New York Times has not been relevant for a long time. And the problem with the mainstream media is that they would have us believe, they push out a narrative all the time. They seize upon this. We've heard this for the last couple of days now, this narrative that America is a racist country, for instance. And the fact is that the New York Times continues to struggle, and Fox News continues to dominate, contrary to the myths of people like Mr. Obama. Fox News is not viewed solely by conservatives, but by a broad group of Americans who are tired of being lied to. Because before Fox News, you just had the mainstream media that lied to you constantly. Now, I want to talk about this in relation to Brian Williams, and then I'm going to get to the other part of the interview, which was, of course, the two themes that are being pushed out, racism and gun control. And one of the things that I didn't really convey yesterday was this Brian Williams thing. Of course, NBC announced that Brian Williams will be demoted to MSNBC, and that he's going to be, I guess, reading the breaking news on MSNBC. And one of the things that I thought was, if you watched the interview, you heard the interview I played yesterday, it was torture, the interview with Matt Lauer. And he never, ever comes clean and never says anything. I.e., that he lied or admitted that he lied. Chuck Todd, okay, the moderator of Meet the Press, applauded the network for how it dealt with the entire ordeal. Nobody else is applauding the network, by the way, because what's amazing is that he's been found to be not credible because he's lied on numerous occasions, but yet he's credible for MSNBC. That's the most amazing thing to me. So he gave an interview on SiriusXM to Michael Shmirkanish. And Todd said that he was proud of how this network dealt with this, took it seriously, took issues of credibility and integrity seriously, and made Brian pay a heavy price. Okay? He stressed the value of work at NBC because it provides an opportunity to earn back trust and earn back a second chance. And I think our leadership threaded that needle in a way that makes me comfortable working here, makes me comfortable. I've heard from Brian on this. Okay. Now, I'm going to just tell you something here. Because I produce this show. Okay. Let me just tell you, explain to you how, like, TV works. Okay, I produce this show, and I'm also the host of the show. I'm the executive producer, and I have help producing it. Brian Williams doesn't produce anything. Brian Williams reads from a teleprompter. So the fact that they kept him around is because they were complicit in all this, pushing out this lie, pushing out this narrative. And you go, well, why didn't they get rid of him? I'll tell you why they didn't get rid of him, because they're basically keeping him around so that he doesn't spill the beans. And my point is this, is that the media, especially the mainstream media, is constantly pushing out a narrative that they want to advance. So Brian Williams didn't just sit there and start reading stuff or making stuff up that he wrote. There's tons of producers at the network level. There's editors, producers, associate producers, executive producers. Okay, that are putting this stuff out there. You think that he just was able to just read on the news something or say something on the NBC Evening News all by himself? Right? No. That was the narrative that they put out there. And when he went on these shows, see, they wanted to make him appear as though he was part of popular culture, that he was cool, and he liked it. Okay? Some of the things that William said, he said that his ego caused him to lie about his reporting. His ego. But he also said he was in a dark place. Let me ask you something. When you lie, don't all lies come from a dark place?
Usually.
It was torture to listen to his interview with Matt Lauer. And they made it seem like it was a hard-hitting interview. But even that interview was edited and produced and picked over. And here's my point. When Mr. Obama talks about people that watch Fox News are looking at a different set of facts. Oh, yeah, that's right. We are. that watch Fox News. And I don't, and by the way, I'm not trying to sit here and say that Fox News is the be all and end all, because I don't agree with everything that Fox News says a lot of times. But at least I have options now. I have options where before we didn't have options. Now we've got the internet, we've got Drudge, we've got all kinds of different news sources, so that we're not just being fed a bunch of malarkey. That's my larger point here, is that he's absolutely right. I actually agree with him. But don't sit there and tell me that Fox News is a bunch of loons that listen to it, and that New York Times is giving you the facts, because they're giving you their facts, just like NBC's giving you their facts. We've got Bob Ney, former congressman from Ohio, from Talk News Radio out of Washington. Bob, how are you?
Good. Are you talking about the president and Fox News?
Yeah, he's obsessed with Fox News. Yeah. Apparently, he's obsessed with it. He just can't get away from Fox News. It's amazing.
But funny you said that. If you look historically at his first, I just was telling Ellen Ratner about this. If you look at his first 60 days, he smiled, he jabbed at Fox. He did more to help them sell commercials than any other human being in the country. And he had an obsession, which honestly was juvenile,
yeah,
at a presidential level. Juvenile. I was in Congress. If I had an enemy in the media, quote, I sure didn't promote him by talking about him.
And he does this over and over and over again.
He's done it since the first 2 months.
He's obsessed with Fox News.
Yeah, absolutely. You got it. I mean, it's wonderful. Seriously, if a president becomes obsessed with somebody, they're going to capitalize on it. I don't care who they are.
Exactly.
The media.
And what then he talks about the New York Times. I mean, the New York Times has struggled mightily to just stay relevant. I mean, look, I haven't read the New York Times. Every time I try to read the New York Times, honestly, I just go, my God, what a waste of my time.
It's a mortuary for ink.
It is. It is. It's, I mean, and the thing is, it's horrible. You read the op-ed pages. I mean, aside from, like, look, if you live in New York and it's great when they report about, you know, what's happening in the city,
sure,
you know, restaurants, nightlife, culture, things like that, it's awesome. Okay.
It's not the national paper anymore.
No, and it hasn't been for a long time. So when he talks about, you know, reading the New York Times and we inhabit different worlds, well, of course we do. And you know, it's the same thing with, you know, like NBC, and like, you know, it's amazing that this whole thing with Brian Williams, and the reason why I brought this up, I was talking about Brian Williams as well, and how, you know, Brian Williams is being put out to pasture. He's basically been banished to the island of the misfit toys.
Right.
You know?
Right. Connie Chung went after me for Freedom Fries, right?
Right. I mean, he's going...
And
yeah,
just went after me. And I don't care what anybody thinks about Freedom Fries. The bottom line was, I wore it like a badge of honor. Where's Connie Chung today?
Well... I think she's still married to Maury Povich, right?
Well, I know, but trivia question, what's she do for a living?
She's made so much cash. But the thing about Brian Williams is, and this is what I said, and you know this, he didn't just start talking on his own. This was all produced and edited and nothing.
Right.
You don't get on the NBC Evening News. They're basically, he's covering for people at NBC.
Right.
That's why they're continuing to pay him.
Sure.
Because he probably said, listen, I'm going to spill the beans on you guys.
Right.
It's not like they're saying, you know, I mean, think about this. He's got the best job now. He doesn't really have to work anymore. Like what? He's going to read the breaking news on MSNBC now? I mean.
Well, people that produced that show said they were in collusion with him.
Of course they were. He's a talking head. It's, he doesn't, that's the thing people don't realize, or they probably do, is you don't do any, when you get to that level, you're not doing anything.
Right.
You don't do
right.
anything. You're just reading, like, for 16
right.
minutes out of 30 mm-hmm. minutes. You're just reading. That's all you're doing. You know, reading a teleprompter. So, The fact that he, you know, talked about all this gobbledygook, it's just, that's all it is. It's hokum.
Well, you're right. It's like politicians who, some make their own gaffes, but some of them quote things staff tell them. Then they get in trouble. then they blame somebody else. But it's all collusion. I'm with you. I think it's just collusion.
I mean, come on. That's but now he's been banned from NBC, but he's going to go on MSNBC.
Yeah. Right.
Nice credibility there. All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it, Bob.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
And the precinct captain for our truth squad in Cleveland, here's NBC's Brian Williams for us now.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
You're listening to Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Central Dental Care, longtime 1100 supporter, is giving a special for new patients. Get a regular cleaning, x-rays, a whole mouth exam, and new you 30-minute teeth whitening for only $95, regularly $750. Serving Arizona for 13 years, Central Dental Care provides experienced, top-rated dentistry. Call 602-903-5935 to give yourself or someone you know a brighter smile. 602-903-5935 or visit centraldentalcare.com.
Still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome back to the show. So this interview again with this guy, Mark Moron. Is that his name? Really? Because that's... Or...
Never heard of him.
I never heard of this guy. So, again, the president talked about racism. He said, we're not cured of it. It's not just a matter of it not being polite, say, nigger in public, okay? That's what he said. And people went nuts about the use of the of that word. But he's used that word before, because he used it in the book Dreams of My Father. So Larry Elder responded to Obama's use of the N-word. He was on CNN, and he suggested that it's all a sideshow. Even this discussion of the Confederate flag, which I will get to in a minute, but Here we go.
CNN, before airing this from the podcast, we're choosing not to bleep anything out, so...
Oh, no.
Legacy of slavery, Jim Crow, discrimination in almost every institution of our lives. You know, that casts a long shadow, and that's still part of our DNA. That's passed on. We're not cured of it.
Racism.
We are not cured of.
Clearly.
And it's not just a matter of it not being polite to say nigger in public. That's not the measure of whether racism still exists or not. It's not just a matter of overt discrimination. We have societies don't overnight completely erase everything that happened 200 to 300 years prior.
Joining me now to talk about the remarks in President Obama and the race issue in general are CNN political commentator Mark Lamont Hill and Larry Elder, host of the Larry Elder Show on CRN Talk Radio. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being here. Larry, let's start with you. Do you think people are too big a deal about the president using the N-word here?
The N-word.
Well, I'm kind of surprised that people are surprised, Jake. He wrote a book, his first book, in which he did use the N-word. You can even hear Obama using the N-word on a book on tape. To me, the lead ought to be how negative he is about race relations in America. My goodness. We've been talking about what happened in 1963 with those four little girls were bombed in Birmingham, a town that had so many bombings, they called it Bombingham. The sheriff was a guy that stick water hoses and dogs on people. The governor, George Wallace, said segregation now, segregation forever. The Klan was so virulent, it was probably the most virulent chapter in all of the South in Birmingham. Fast forward to South Carolina, you're talking about a female governor who's of Indian descent. You have one of the two senators who's black. You have widespread vigils. In the case of Birmingham, it was decades before they brought the people to justice. We know who did it right away. And this man did not pull out a Confederate flag and shoot people, Jake. He pulled out a firearm. I don't understand why we're talking about the flag when the real issue is maybe something might have happened if we had had concealed weapons in that church. Maybe something might have happened if one of the friends had intervened. Mm-hmm. It's a sideshow to be talking about the Second Amendment. It's a sideshow to be talking about the Confederate flag or whether Obama had used the N-word, as far as I'm concerned. The issue is whether or not somebody today can work hard, go to school, and make it to the middle class if he or she works hard and tries hard. And okay. The answer is a devastating yes.
All right. Mark?
No. Listen to George Will talking about the DNA of racism.
That race relations are not getting better.
Well, how can they if they're part of our DNA and are naturally transmitted from one generation to another? It's a most unfortunate rhetorical reach that he did there, because you there are saying that Americans are in some sense naturally, by nature, racist. It's an unfortunate indictment of the nation, and it's you should take it back.
Oh, God. Yeah, I talked about this yesterday, about the theme of racism. And I would just like to add, this psychopath that clearly was racist and evil wanted to start a race war. But the reaction has been the opposite, as we've noted here on the show. It's brought people together. Nobody's riding in the streets at all.
I find it interesting that the community, and specifically those that were first affected, the families, do not want President Obama, do not want Reverend Al Sharpton to come to town.
Right, because they're going to politicize this. Dr. Woodson, who is also a voice of reason within the black community, listen to what he had to say.
But you always have to begin with a solution in mind. And I tell people, okay, what is your solution? If of all whites tomorrow were to move to Canada and Europe, tell me how it would affect the black-on-black crime rate, how would it affect the out-of-wedlock births, how would it affect the spread of AIDS, how would it affect those issues?
Exactly. You know, why don't we talk about that? Why doesn't the president talk about that ever? No, because he doesn't get mileage by talking about that. And then, so Josh Earnest yesterday was asked about this. About the president's use of the dreaded N-word.
The N-word has created some stir in social media, and which was part of the president's broader and deeper discussion of racism. But I wonder if his use of that was intended to be provocative, and given the reaction, does he in any way regret using it? Mm-hmm.
He does not. The president's use of the word and the reason that he used the word could not be more apparent from the context of his discussion on podcast. The president made clear that it's not possible to judge the nation's progress on race issues based solely on an evaluation of our country's manners. The fact is that we've made undeniable progress in this country over the last several decades. And as the president himself has often said, anyone who lived in this country through the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s notes the tremendous progress that we've made. That progress is undeniable. But what's also undeniable is that there is more work that needs to be done. And there's more that we can do. And the fact is, everyone in this country should take some inspiration from the progress that was made in the previous generation and use that as a motivation and an inspiration to try to make further progress toward a more perfect union.
Just more, you know, gobbledygook. But he also, this is interesting, he also, he was asked about the use of the N-word. And Fox White House correspondent Kevin Cork said, "I want to follow up on something a lot of people have been talking about, the use of the N-word. Does the president condone of the use of the word at home? And what would he say to parents who have worked very hard to get their children not to even use that?" And he said, "It's in music, it's in urban settings. There are parents who said they don't ever want to use the word even casually. What does he say to those parents?" And Josh Earnest didn't have an answer for that. He said, "Well, I guess you probably have to ask him that. I don't. It doesn't mean it's an illegitimate question. It just means I think for the president's own personal views, you should ask him that." Really?
It's his typical response. Pass the buck. Don't answer.
Okay. All right. You know, why? Like, okay, so I want to play that for you real quick. If I can get this to work here. Okay.
I want to follow up on something a lot of people have been talking about, and that's the use of the N-word. Does the president condone the use of that word at home? And what would he say to parents who have worked very hard to get their children to not use it, even though it's out there? It's in music, especially in urban settings. The parents who've said, "Don't ever use that word, even casually." What does he say to those parents?
Well, I guess you probably have to ask him that. I didn't. It doesn't mean it's an illegitimate question. It just means I think that for the president's own personal views, you should ask him that.
Bring him out.
I'm sorry?
Bring him out.
We'll see. I'll ask him.
You're the spokesperson, right? The president. What are you talking about? I don't know. You know? Such an uproar. With this this whole deal. So Michael Eric Dyson was actually glad that the president used this word. He said it was a payoff for those of us who have been pressing him on race, because a lot of people feel that he hasn't been talking about race enough. Okay, so here's Michael Eric Dyson.
America, new comments from President Obama getting a lot of attention this morning. While speaking with comedian Mark Maron on the popular podcast, the president again weighed in on racial tensions and the debate over guns. But this time, he didn't hold back in the language he chose that some of you might find offensive.
The legacy of slavery, Jim Crow, discrimination in almost every institution of our lives. You know, that casts a long shadow, and that's still part of our DNA. That's passed on. We're not cured of it.
Racism.
We're not cured of it.
Racism.
And it's not just a matter of it not being polite to say in public. That's not the measure of whether racism still exists or not. It's not just a matter of overt discrimination. Societies don't overnight completely erase everything that happened to...
All right, we'll be right back.
Good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
You're listening to Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Robert Walensky. A key suspect involved in the Benghazi terrorist attack killed, the Pentagon saying he also had ties to ISIS. Turning to politics, Hillary Clinton scheduled to visit Missouri today for a campaign stop not far from Ferguson. It's expected she'll speak about racial issues and the South Carolina shooting. Calls to remove the Confederate flag in South Carolina. Here's the Blaze Radio's Joe Gomez with an update.
It's time to move the flag from the Capitol grounds.
South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley was joined by Republican Senators Tim Scott and Lindsey Graham in calling for the stars and bars to be folded up for good. Haley said if the state legislature doesn't take up the issue of removing the flag over the summer, she'll bring them back for a special session. Last week's shooting at a South Carolina church stirred controversy over the Confederate flag, which the suspected church shooter had several pictures with. Joe Gomez, The Blaze News.
Some vets extremely upset with Brian Williams and his lies. The former NBC nightly news anchor being moved to MSNBC. Here's the Blaze Radio's Tom Peace now with an update.
For Brian Williams to trade at New York City cocktail parties for the last decade on the fact that he was there and he was in the middle of it really churns these guys.
Pete Hegseth is a veteran of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars on the Kelly File on Fox News. Some veterans still not satisfied with the apology Brian Williams gives in his interview with Matt Lauer on NBC's Today Show. Williams now willing to admit he lies.
Did you give thought at the time to going on the air and saying I lied?
I know why people would see it that way. It's not what happened. What happened is the fault of a whole host of other sins. What happened is clearly part of my ego getting the better of me. To put myself in a better light, to appear better than I was.
This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
Arizona News Radio. A California girl who had been the subject of an Amber Alert issued Monday morning is found safe in northern Arizona. Officers pulling over her alleged abductor and stepbrother, 22-year-old Michael Malik, and finding 12-year-old Cassidy Hayes in the vehicle south of Page.
A high-risk stop was conducted by two of our troopers, during which the suspect yielded and surrendered without incident.
Clark Graves with DPS. Police in Cathedral City, California, were worried for Hayes because Malik had left behind a suicide note. Court hearing for convicted killer Jodi Arias. A judge ruling she must pay the family of Travis Alexander $30,000 restitution for the expense of traveling to court for her trials and retrials. Arias attorney Jennifer Wilmot argued against it.
Restitution is to make the victims whole. It's not to cause a windfall for the victim.
Wilmot noting that Arias doesn't have the money and can only earn 20 cents an hour working in prison. Diamondbacks visit the Rockies in Colorado tonight. Geico weather heating up again. 113 in the deserts near 90 in Flagstaff. Jeff Scott, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic is service of Unbound. We have the HOV lane closed southbound 101 near Thunderbird in Peoria. Downtown, look for a wreck due to a vehicle on fire eastbound I-10 at 24th Street. We also have a wreck off to the side southbound I-17 at Glendale. Mothers around the world have the power to lift their families out of poverty. They just need a little help. Make a difference in the life of a family today at unbound.org. That's unbound.org.
From the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center, there's an excessive heat warning in effect for Tuesday and Wednesday. It'll be sunny and hot Tuesday with a high of 111. We'll have clear skies Tuesday night, a low 83. Wednesday should be sunny and hot. Again, our high 110. I'm Rod Tanner from the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center.
Currently here in Midtown, we're at 90 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, more from the Edward Woodson Show. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%! Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 now to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It. At $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
I like them brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian. Name is Fight Four from the Zulu Nation. So you're in the jam.
To 300 years prior.
In his role as the first African-American president, the president has always been careful in the way he approached the topic of race, but this is the first time he's ever verbally used the N-word. And in the interview, he also expressed frustration about Congress's failure to pass any gun control measures, even after Sandy Hook. Joining me now is MSNBC political analyst Michael Eric Dyson, a professor of sociology at Georgetown University. Eric, thanks for being with us here. For those who are familiar with this podcast, it's important to note here that it is a podcast where the use of crude language is pretty frequent there. It's actually called WTF. But do you think that the use of the word by President Obama distracts from the point he was trying to make, or do you think because he actually went there, with the N-word, that underscores it?
The latter interpretation, I think, is correct. Look, those of us who have been pressing President Obama to speak more explicitly and more articulately about race, this is a part of the payoff. This is a man who knows so much more than he's been willing to or allowed to speak about in public spaces. He chooses his words carefully. He chooses his points of entry carefully. But I think this was an incredibly important moment and intervention on behalf of the American public by our president, the president of the entire United States of America, to talk specifically and particularly about that N-word. And black people didn't die when white people said the N-word, those who were racist, who lynched, castrated, and murdered them. They didn't use the N-word. They used the word itself. What he was doing was shocking us, a shock to the system, a jarring reminder of the intemperate use of that word and how it's been connected to legacies of white supremacy that he brilliantly and forthrightly has addressed and certainly in this case did again.
Well, let's bring it
Can we move on?
No, we cannot move on. We've got to pound this into the ground. So, Nikki Haley, the governor of South Carolina, talking about the Confederate flag. Now, here's the point I want to make, because the Confederate flag has been a huge deal, right? And as I said before, yesterday on the show, we talk about the Confederate flag and Democrats that complain about the flag being a symbol of slavery. That Confederate flag was the flag for the Democrats in the South. That is the reality. And another point I want to make is that, you know, the left talks about DACA, right? The Dream Act. And they always say, when talking about amnesty, well, you can't blame the children that were brought over here by their parents that came over illegally, right? We can't blame the children. It's not fair to blame the children for something they didn't do. It's not the children's fault that were brought over here illegally by their parents when they were very young. Yet, we're still getting blamed for slavery 300 years later. Certainly not our fault. Why are you blaming us for the slavery deal? I don't get it. Why? It's not my fault. It's not your fault, Steve, right? But yet all white people are racist and they're all to blame. They've decided now that they're going to bring the flag down. Although it's all symbolic because I think they still have to vote on it, right? They need two-thirds of a vote. So here was Nikki Haley yesterday talking.
For many people in our state, the flag stands for traditions that are noble. Traditions of history, of heritage, and of ancestry. The hate-filled murderer who massacred our brothers and sisters in Charleston has a sick and twisted view of the flag. In no way does he reflect the people in our state who respect and in many ways revere it. Those South Carolinians view the flag as a symbol of respect, integrity, and duty. They also see it as a memorial, a way to honor ancestors who came to the service of their state during time of conflict. That is not hate, nor is it racism. At the same time, for many others in South Carolina, the flag is a deeply offensive symbol of a brutally oppressive past. As a state, we can survive, and indeed we can thrive, as we have done, while still being home to both of those viewpoints. We do not need to declare a winner and a loser here. We respect freedom of expression, and that for those who wish to show their respect for the flag on their private property, no one will stand in your way. But the State House is different, and the events of this past week call upon us to look at this in a different way. 15 years ago, after much contentious debate, South Carolina came together in a bipartisan way to move the flag from atop the Capitol dome. Today, we are here in a moment of unity in our state, without ill will, to say it's time to move the flag from the Capitol grounds.
They should have moved the flag after the Civil War because they lost the war. I don't even get this. You know? I mean, I really don't understand this. I didn't grow up in the South. Look, let's remember one thing, okay? Again, everything is so convoluted. You know, we get away from the facts. The South seceded from the Union. Okay?
Which was what the war was really all about.
Right, they seceded from the Union. And that's what the war was about. And they lost the war. They lost. I think after that, guess what? You don't get to fly the flag. Okay? You lost the war. So I don't even understand why this is such a big deal. And it shouldn't be flown over the state, the Capitol building. I mean, come on. So I don't understand this. Why this is such a big issue. And, of course, it becomes this gotcha question. And so I'm glad that they just put this to rest because it's kind of it's silly. All this talk about racism and the flag and all this, it's just a diversion. And that's the larger point I want to make. It's a diversion.
This week's diversion, you're right.
It's this week's diversion. Meanwhile, Greece is going down the tubes. The Euros are going to collapse. You've still got Putin going nuts. We're not talking about ISIS. We're not talking about what's going on in the Middle East. No, we're talking about racism in America and some dumb flag and gun control. One of the first things that Obama talked about was gun control. Gun control.
You know, you were mentioning earlier, I almost said something, you and Bob, when Bob Ney was with us, about he was the best thing that happened to Fox News in terms of, advertising rates. He was also the best thing that could happen to gun sales in this country. If he just, wouldn't stop harping on it, the gun sales wouldn't have been as historic as they have been.
No question. Josh Earnest again was asked yesterday if it's too early to know yet whether any additional gun control laws would have prevented the attack. And this is what he said. The fact is this particular instance is still under investigation. So until we know more about exactly what happened or what didn't or what did happen in this instance, it's difficult to say whether one piece of legislation or one rule, if changed, could have prevented this particular action. Well, no, it wouldn't have. Because the fact is, he couldn't get a gun anyway. He'd been charged with a felony, couldn't get a gun anyway in South Carolina. He wasn't allowed to purchase a gun. So, I mean, again, more diversion. Again, you know, why talk about gun control? Gun control has nothing to do with a wacko. Okay? Absolutely nothing to do with some wacko. Just a diversion. That's all it is.
Well, let's face it. If you want a gun, there's a myriad of ways to get a gun.
You can get a gun. Right. If you want heroin, you can go get heroin. Okay? You can get whatever you want. So you can have all the gun laws in the world. Again, all you got to do is look to Chicago or D.C. Those are the two best examples. Still tons of people with guns running around. So you can have all the gun laws you want. It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. People still get guns if they want. There's always going to be a market. There's always going to be a black market for whatever it is that you want. So when politicians go, oh, we need more laws to restrict to this or that, it's a false narrative that it makes them feel good, I guess, makes them get votes, and people think something's being done, but nothing's being done. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports, cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh, yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Hi, honey, where are you?
I'm at the auto repair shop. My car broke down. I have good news and I have bad news.
What's the bad news?
I'll be home late. The good news is this expensive front-end auto repair is only going to cost us a $100 deductible because we purchased that auto warranty from NationalVehicleServiceContract.com. This would have cost us over $1,400.
I told you it was smart to purchase extended warranties for our cars. Remember last month my alternator failed and only cost $100 when it would have cost us $400?
Yes. And we still have 2 years of coverage left over from the policy. I'm sure we'll have more mechanical breakdowns over the next 2 years.
Oh, I know.
Since the warranty pays for the repair direct to the shop, I have some extra cash. Do you want to go out for dinner?
Absolutely.
Don't get stuck with expensive auto repairs. Get an extended warranty for your used vehicle today. Call 623-935-7988. That's 623-935-7988.
Did you realize?
still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
So we're awaiting the ruling, a few big rulings by the Supreme Court, one being gay marriage. We should have that ruling coming down the pike here. Obamacare should be either Thursday, Friday, or by the latest on Monday. But one of the things coming out now, Jonathan Gruber.
He's our back. Buddy Gruber.
He's back.
Stupid American public.
Apparently he had, well, he was right about that. Apparently he had a larger role in Obamacare than we ever imagined. Those pesky emails. I don't know why anybody sends emails. What's the name? Mark Halperin was on from Bloomberg Politics, the managing editor, who's just a big lib. he was talking about... being lied to, okay? That the White House lied to us, okay?
Take a look at the morning papers. The Wall Street Journal, the man who said America was tricked about the high cost of Obamacare, was a lot closer to the controversial law's creation than previously known. New emails show that MIT economist Jonathan Gruber, remember him, was in regular contact with high-level Obama administration staffers about the health care laws.
But that's not what the White House said, Mark Halperin. They said he
small
was a big
player.
No, and I owe all my Republican sources an apology because they kept telling me he was hugely involved, and the White House played it down.
The White House
the Republicans
lied.
Were right.
Did the White House lie about that?
I think they were not fully forthcoming.
or
they may have had their recollections impaired.
Howard, did the White House
kind of
lie
like Brian
about,
Williams.
About Mr. Gruber?
I think they were not fully forthcoming.
The White
Gruber
House
Harold, did Gruber the White, was Uber.
Harold, it appears that some would say, not I, but some would say the White House lied about Mr. Gruber's involvement, Professor Gruber's involvement. Would you say the White House lied about his involvement?
I would say they were not fully.
Mika,
the architect
Mika,
of Obamacare.
Let me see if one person will talk straight. The White House assured us that Mr. Gruber was a bit player. It appears now that that was not true. Did the White House lie about Mr. Gruber's involvement?
It certainly appears they did. The White House sought distance from Gruber after his comments that the administration used a lack of transparency and the, quote, stupidity of the American voter to pass health care reform.
You like that, Harold?
The House Oversight Committee obtained 20,000 pages of email through MIT Chairman Jason Chaffetz and is now asking the Department of Health and Human Services for more information on Gruber's contract with the government.
Yeah, he lied.
Maybe we should call it Gruber Care.
He lied. It sounds like the Brian Williams deal.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Now, I just point this out because I want people to understand something. And I know that the listeners understand this. You're constantly being lied to, and you have to sift through all of it to try to find out a kernel of truth. Speaking of which, during Monday's episode of The View, Whoopi Goldberg and her crew were fooled by a fake news website that claimed Pastor John Hagee wanted women prosecuted if they said God during sex. This is a fake.
And she bought it,
and they had it. And again, you got to get past the producers and everything.
Hey, now welcome back. You know, a Texas pastor wants you to watch your mouth in the bedroom. He says that if a woman screams, oh, God, during sex, they should be thrown in jail.
Arrest every woman in this audience. But bring out the cuffs, okay?
But first of all, sir, I don't mean to be a bonehead, but how do you think you're going to enforce this? Just a question. I mean, this whole table would be in jail.
Lightning strikes the entire
studio. All his men would be in jail.
He didn't say. No. He didn't say one thing about a man. He didn't say that a man would get thrown in jail for anything. Just the woman would get thrown in jail for using God's name in vain, which actually means no reason or useless. That is very useless when you scream that name.
Well, maybe he never had a really good orgasm, so he never thought in his mind.
God is not a part of it. I know you know. Flattered. So you think God is flattered? I'd be like, yeah, girl, get it. I'd be like, I'd be watching, if I was God, like full binoculars, telescope, like that was nice, like that.
That's what I don't understand about certain people in religion, no offense, I just don't understand this, how they condemn sex so much when how else would we be here?
Ew, that's really smart.
What can they say? That, it's valid, you see me. I don't know what to say about it.
I don't understand that.
So this came from Newslow, which is one of those fake websites.
Apparently they didn't think so.
No, but they they ran with it. So here's the thing. You put this out there. People are watching this. People are watching this during the day, The View, and they think it's true. And so they go, and that sticks out in their minds, and then they go tell other people that.
Well, you know, I heard this on The View. I heard this on
The View. Must be true.
I
saw it on TV. It's got to be true. Or, you know, you have people that use the news source of Comedy Central. They're like, oh, I get my news from Comedy Central. Actually, I had somebody say that to me. Well, I get my news from Comedy Central. I'm like, Comedy Central? You do realize it's a parody. Right, of the news, the Jon Stewart. It's a parody of the news. It's not real news. Do you realize it? No. See, and that's the problem again. So full circle again. We've come full circle on the show. When you have the president talking about the New York Times and Fox News, and you talk about Brian Williams and NBC, and then. You see all this stuff, and Jonathan Gruber, and the White House lying. You get my point here, right? It's very difficult. And you got to work at it. You got to work at it. And so what I try to do here every day is redistribute the truth. I feel that's my role. To be the truth redistributionist. And you don't have to believe me. That's fine. But just please do your homework. Go out there and try to sift through. And it's really hard to do. And I get that it's really, really hard to do. Because you hear something. Did you see that on The View, man? You know, you're at the hairdresser and you're at the office. And you heard it, you know, while you were blow drying your hair. It's true. Or you watch the Matt Lauer interview. I came from a very dark place. It wasn't me. All right, we're out of time. But check out my website, edwardwoodson.com, edwardwoodson.com. If you want to listen to the show again or any other past shows, go to woodsonarchive.com. You can listen to the podcasts. Also follow me on Twitter, @EdWoodsonShow. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you every day to give you your fair share of the truth because you're entitled to it. Good day, America. I'm out. Lies, lies.
You're telling me that you'll be true.
Thank you for tuning in to the Edward Woodson Show. Changing talk radio forever.
Russ on the radio, Thursday at 4 p.m. A show like no other. Russ Stevenson, the oral surgeon of creativity, puts inventors, authors, and marketers in the hot seat, painlessly extracting their most jealously guarded secrets. Secrets that will guide you through the process of creativity and invention and will turn your ideas into money. Remember, nothing happens until something is created. To assist Russ during his delicate oral operations, tune in and call in to Russ on the radio, Thursday at 4 p.m.
If you call yourself a conservative, why be here if you're not going to fight? And people say, well, people don't want people fighting. People want everyone to get along, Laura. They want bipartisan agreement, Laura. This is what they want, Laura. No, I think people don't really care about bipartisan agreement. We had a lot of bipartisan agreement in the past. Didn't work out for the people so well. What this election in November showed everybody is that the people are fed up.
Catch the Laura Ingraham Show Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. on KFNX.
From the realms of astronomy, space, aviation, weather, this is the Dr. Sky Report.
I'm Dr. Sky with the Dr. Sky Minute from the realm of astronomy, our strange and incredible universe. By now, I'm sure many of you know we live in a basic three-dimensional world consisting of width, length, and height.